Welcome to the Local Marketing Trends Podcast, where you'll find great insight on what's happening in the world of local marketing from two of the industry's brightest analysts and forecasters, Corey Elliott and Gordon Burrell. Today's show is sponsored by Simplify, the leaders in localized programmatic ad buying, and Site Impact, the experts in email marketing. And now, here are your hosts, Gordon and Corey.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the show. We have got a great podcast for you this time around. And Corey, welcome.
Hello, Gordon. How you doing?
I'm doing great. We got a lot to talk about with the interview we have coming up with Dave Lugi. That's a really cool interview. And I wanted to talk also about this thinning of the pack. It was a presentation that we did in 2019. Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah. It was a very popular one. We did it a number of times.
Probably 30 or 40 times last year. And now, Corey, it's coming true.
Well, first of all, tell everybody, if they didn't see it, thinning of what pack? What are you talking about?
Yeah. We better clarify that. The thinning of the media pack, the media population, as we looked at it, was just like extremely crowded, overpopulated. And we said, you know, really, something's got to give because advertisers aren't going to support this many local media. Now we have evidence of actually what's occurring. But before we get to talking about that and the interview with Dave Lugi from Tegna, the president and CEO of Tegna. Cool interview, by the way. Wanted to ask you, because I know that you peek about our latest survey. It's still in the field. It's just about done. But I know that you sneak a peek. So tell us what you saw when you peeked, knowing that you actually did. Didn't you?
Yeah, we sent a survey out to our panel. We're really trying to understand behaviors right now, and I thought this was a pretty good one. We asked, since the coronavirus, I can't talk, situation has emerged, has your business adopted any new technologies? Now, these are SMBs, right? So how many of these guys during this crisis adopted new technologies? What percentage do you think?
10.
50.
50, half of them. Yeah. Like what? What type of new technology?
It looks like, I mean, we left it open-ended, but man, there's one word I keep seeing over and over again, Zoom.
Oh, yeah. Well, that would be understandable. But I'll tell you this, go look at the latest financial reports, public reports from companies like Fiverr and Wix and Web.com. They are booming with subscriptions. All this marketing technology, do-it-yourself, self-serve stuff. I think that's one of the key technologies that was adopted because, and probably will be as it goes forward, because a lot of these businesses are realizing they needed to do something to update their websites, whether it was add an e-commerce tool or a chat function or something else. And that's exactly what these big public companies are doing with this marketing technology. That's exactly what, you know, what Thrive is doing as well, the old Yellow Pages company.
Well, so, having a technology and adopting a new technology is one thing. Understanding how to mix it into your whole marketing campaign and plan is something totally different.
Yep. And that leads us to the thing of the pack and the companies that aren't doing that, the media companies. So just briefly, we did a presentation in 2019, all of 2019, and we showed that the average local number of local media entities per market, per TV market, and there are 211 TV markets across the US, was 128. That does not include any digital media. 128 different choices that advertisers have. The largest group of choices was about 70, 68, I believe, something like that. Radio stations per market. The average number of radio licenses, AM and FM stations per market. That's phenomenal. And then right behind that, what do you think was next? With the next largest number of local media entities per market?
Newspaper.
You're absolutely right. Newspapers. An average of, I think it was about 40 newspapers per market, daily and weekly newspapers. And we said, something's got to give. And guess what it has? Here we go. This is the latest. There have been, I'm going to give radio in a moment, newspapers. There are no more daily newspapers. That is 7 days a week. They're scaling back. So this is part of it. In Lawrence, Kansas, the Lawrence Journal World, now no longer a daily. Paducah Sun, Wilkes-Barre Times Leader, Spokesman Review, Okaloosa Herald, Daily Iowawian in Iowa, Provo, Utah, Daily Herald. It goes on and on. The Gloucester Daily Times, the National Telegraph is now Sunday only. So it's that thinning of the newspaper. And then the dead ones. And this is just within the past couple of weeks. The Daily Clintonian in Indiana, the Glendale News Press, the Burbank Leader, La Cañada Valley, Valley Sun, Eden Prairie News, no more. Lakeshore Weekly News, Post Media up in Canada, axed 15 newspapers. And it's just amazing.
Wait a minute.
Go ahead.
You're not going to take credit for calling a pandemic that closed down newspapers, are you? That's not the thinning of the herd. You're not going to sit there and say to everybody, well, I knew this was coming.
No. Not at all. Never saw this coming. And what we were saying was, wow, there are way too many media entities out there. Something, you know, over time, a trend will occur that they're going to go away. But we also knew in the back of our minds that some type of economic trigger always causes trends to accelerate. And that's what I'm saying. It's just accelerating right now. Get this, for the past year, and with greater increasing intensity now, with the past year, 12 months, three radio stations per week have gone dark. Three per week. And I talked to somebody who compiles that database the other day and said, hey, what's going on? Is there any, you know, interesting sort of trend or something that's happening here that we should know about? And she said, well, the constant decline, it's always kind of declined kind of slowly and then maybe moved up a little bit, the number of radio stations, the constant decline is something new. And I said, why? Why is this occurring? And she said, well, looking in the records, what we're seeing is we just see more stations saying they're not raising enough money from advertisers. So sure. There it is, Corey, the thinning of the pack. The one thing that really has done extremely well is television.
Yeah. That is, and it's good that you have the interviewee that you have this week.
That's right. Dave was around during the last big downturn, the Great Recession. And I've known him since his days at BELO when we started the company. We did a joint applied research project with Harvard's entrepreneurial unit and BELO. And Dave was at the helm there at BELO. But anyway, we did an interview with him. It's really interesting. He was at Gannett, now Tegna TV stations at the Great Recession period, and saw some really dramatic change in that period and contrast it with what Tegna is today. And that's coming up right after this.
Borrell's Local Marketing Trends podcast is brought to you today by Simplify. We recognize that business needs are shifting rapidly as companies look to adapt to these uncertain times. Simplify's goal is to support you and your business. Please reach out to us today to see how we can help you drive and measure online sales. Visit simpli.fi to learn more.
With most Americans now working from home, they're now more ingrained than ever in their business and personal email boxes. Site Impact gives you the power to send hyper-local and hyper-targeted email campaigns directly to the source through their 100% opt-in database. Email engagement and click-through rates have spiked in recent weeks. Don't lose touch with your customers, especially now when they need it most. Want to learn more? Go to siteimpact.com.
Okay, we're back, and I've got with me my friend Dave Luigi from Tegna. Welcome, Dave, to the program.
Thank you, Gordon. Happy to be here.
I wanted to start out sort of generally and just say that in Tegna's annual report, and I know this is a Wall Street term, but it mentions that Tegna's been transformed into a pure play broadcasting company, I guess from its old roots of being with a newspaper company, Gannett. But tell me about that. You know, Tegna really isn't pure play in that it's only doing broadcast content and broadcast advertising. You've got an array of things available.
You're absolutely right. In terms of, we're hardly just a broadcasting company, right? We're, you know, what we really are is a local content and marketing services business at national scale, right? That's the answer to your question why that's in the annual report.
You know, it always it was curious to me that when I would go up to visit you in Northern Virginia at that big building, that it was a television company that happened to be housed in a big newspaper office. It was just, it was like,
no, that's not unfair. And we were ironically even then a big TV company, but the newspaper company was so large.
Yes,
by the way, we're no longer in that building.
I understand.
We leased two floors in a commercial real estate building.
So let me ask you a crystal ball question. If you look 4 to 5 years ahead, what does a successful local broadcast TV company like Tegna look like in terms of content and revenue? Are we still looking at heavy or almost exclusively focused video content business and a mix of revenue from advertising, marketing services, subscriptions, and things like that? Or do you see a different type of company?
Well, I think first of all, it's worth putting in the context of this current downturn, right, of this pandemic, which I also think, you know, we could also opine about what secular changes it will accelerate and not, and et cetera, et cetera. But, you know, and I was in the chair, you know, for about a year at Gannett Broadcasting when the last downturn happened. And we were a single revenue source of revenue line business at the time. We were, you know, 90%+ non-political advertising with subscription revenues, de minimis. And it was frankly, you know, right around pre-Citizens United. So the amount of political advertising in the business was so different. So compare that to today, where we are as Tegna. We've got a tremendous amount of subscription revenues from pay TV services, not just the traditional ones, but the new ones, right? Which is significantly produces tremendous amount of cash. So we're where the newspaper business once was, where we're rightfully getting paid for, you know, the billions that as an industry between us as an industry and our network partners invest in content. We're getting, you know, rightfully paid on pay TV systems for that. Political advertising has become much larger as a percentage of your pie, especially if you've got strong big stations in the right places as companies like ours do. So non-political advertising, right, whether digital or traditional TV, is less than 50% of our total business. And, you know, so as a company, we have never been in denial about any secular trends. And we have and continue to look to create businesses to take headwinds and move them into tailwinds. And I'll just give you two recent examples. One was, you know, 3 or 4 years ago, as we was clear that streaming services were going to grow and that great long form content, some of that would move to some of these streaming services, and the services that create them would be only national in nature, and they wouldn't have the economics to sell them locally. That's why we created Premion, right? We knew that through IP technology, there'd be the ability to very efficiently deliver targeted advertising on OTT platforms. But what we focused on was creating, as opposed to some recreation of a programmatic, you know, remnant platform from the display days, we said, we'll build a business where we'll directly source the content from quality publishers and give advertisers targeted advertising in a high quality environment. So we built that business. We started that business, I think the end, right around the end of 16, and got that to, you know, north of $100 million just last year.
Dave, you said a couple of things that were really interesting to me, but I'm not sure I quite get them. When we're talking about OTT, you said we want to source high-quality content. What does that mean? Give us an example.
Direct relationships with publishers, right? We're not pulling and just pulling inventory off of exchanges, right? That, in a nutshell.
So you're just not reselling OTT inventory. You're going to high-quality publishers and have direct relationships with them.
And in effect, being able then to guarantee to the advertiser the quality of the content of the environment they'll be in.
All right, here's one that gave me whiplash. Over the air viewing is growing. I mean, that's contrary to what many people really believe. And again, an example of that: how can over the air viewing be growing when we see so many other choices basically on OTT platforms? Isn't that taking away from over the air?
No, I think you also need to think about where the over-the-air growth comes. Remember, when a home gets rid of cable and gets rid of the cord, then their television set gets a lot less channels. It gets a lot less linear channels. So, you know, there's a lot of additive programming out there, right? I mean, what I mean by that is everybody uses multiple services. You know, people are both Netflix viewers and local broadcast viewers. What I'm saying is that, you, first of all, over-the-air households are growing. That's obviously well known by everybody. And then the viewing in an over-the-air household, by definition, there are less cable channels, so those broadcast channels get a better share of that viewing.
Let's move to political quickly. You had a really great first quarter with some pretty high growth, 32%, and EBITDA was up 39%, I think. But a lot of that seemed to be high-margin political advertising. Where does that stand? I mean, it looks like it's going to be another really big banner year, but what's your view on political and what that's going to mean for TEGNA going forward? How have things changed with this COVID-19 out there?
Yeah, so in terms of, let's leave COVID aside for a second, I'll come back to that, but as it relates to political advertising, the more things change, the more they stay the same with political advertising. First of all, you know, elections are won locally. And as, you know, one large political agency said to me, despite 2016, you don't win the U.S. House on Twitter, right? And you don't win this, you don't win the governor on Twitter. You need to reach voters, and local broadcasters reach voters. So with all the, you know, as long as I've been in this job, Gordon's ever been always saying about, oh, you know, that political advertising is going to, that the share of that's going to shift away to other medium. And there have been changes in how dollars are allocated. But what hasn't changed much is how much gets allocated to local broadcasting. And then on top of that, of course, just the total amount of money in the system has increased dramatically from, and there really were two inflection points. One was Citizens United, as I mentioned before, you know, 10 years ago or so. And then the other really was the Trump election. There's so much more emotional energy, hence fundraising, hence spending in the system today. So as it relates to COVID, first of all, the second quarter, which is the one we're in right now, was always going to be the lowest quarter for the whole country in advertising and political, as it always is. And, you know, a good 80% of what is spent will be between Labor Day and Election Day, as is always the case. And I don't see it negatively impacting political at all. And in fact, if the inability to hold rallies, not just in the presidential race, but in all statewide races, I think will put more pressure on candidates to advertise.
All right, two quick questions for you. One is on competition. Who do you see TEGNA's biggest competitors in local markets? Are they other TV stations? Is it Hulu, MVPDs?
I think it's everything that takes attention away from consumers and also provides good options for other advertisers. And that's a long list of things. Obviously, FANG has been a pretty big competitor, Gordon. I think that, you know, once broadband really became ubiquitous, whenever we could say that was 5 years ago or so in the home. You know, we've obviously had a lot of video competition from the YouTubes of the world and the Facebooks. So, you know, Facebook and Google has probably been the biggest competitor for ad dollars over the last, you know, 3 to 5 years. I think Amazon's ad tech platform is quite a looming threat out there to everybody in local and national. But I don't really have one simple answer to that.
So that leads to the question of, okay, what's your strategic competitive advantage? What is the big competitive advantage of TEGNA or of TV in general? You mentioned FANG. Okay, yes, it's competition for all advertising dollars and different bits and pieces, but, and this seems like a leading question, isn't, or is there something else? TEGNA's big advantage and television's big advantage is something you mentioned earlier, and that's branding.
Say branding with advertisers because of our branding with consumers. We have a local, what they don't have is we have a local community connection. I mean, just take right now, right? I would argue that in my professional lifetime, Gordon, and yours, this is actually the most important local story ever, right? I mean, there's been huge local stories in individual markets, but on a national basis, every market has a big, huge local story. 9/11 was a national story. Even the 2008-2009 term was a national story. But you look at the community engagement we have today and how people turn to us and the local relationship we have, our on-air personalities and our digital platforms, that's an advantage, right? And that in turn turns to a brand advantage for advertisers locally.
So last question, what makes you most proud of Tegna? What is it really stands out?
The team has really promoted a culture of innovation. A lot of companies say that, Gordon, but we've got a lot of points on the board to show for it. I mentioned Premion, but we are the traditional TV local newscast, which started to all look the same. We've had a tremendous amount of innovation going on changing that. You know, we let competitors make fun of us. And as I like to say, keep making fun of us because the risk of not changing is way higher than the risk of changing, all with the core values of doing great journalism. We do more investigative reporting than we ever have before. The Murrow Awards were given out yesterday, and we don't live for awards, right? You got to win at the box office as well. But what I'm proud of is that I was looking in the regions of where RTNDA sends out awards, and we won almost every region where we entered. We won the award for innovation. And that's what I'm most proud of. We have real innovation taking place in the company.
That's fantastic. Dave, thanks for your time. I appreciate it. You've been very generous and really appreciate the time. Congratulations on what's going on with Tegna.
Thank you, Gordon. Good to talk to you again.
What I found really interesting about that, and it's one thing that I didn't realize, is when he talked about over-the-air households growing, I was being very smug and thinking, oh, well, that's not happening. Well, guess what, Gordon? It actually is.
Yeah.
And it's been happening for a while. And did you know back in January of 2019, about 14% of U.S. households had an antenna. Interestingly enough, 8% of that 14% also had a subscription on video demand subscriptions as well. So they were supplementing what they're getting. Now it's up to about 25%.
Yeah, I think the old view is that people see local broadcast TV as the local news, the 6 yeah. o'clock news. And I don't know, in our market, the age of the anchors is like old. So, it looks like the aging of the population that we saw, the readership with newspapers. But when you stop and you step back and look at TV, you go, wait a minute, that's a very, very narrow view of TV. They're much more than that. One thing that really I've been thinking about television quite a bit just because of its resilience and everything that Dave said. But one thing that really sticks out is television is really, really focused on technology, on 5G, on, addressable television, all that stuff. And we don't quite see that with the other media.
No. And we just saw from the survey we did that they're being adopted. New technologies are being adopted even in this time. So TV is poised at a great place. It's fun to watch them because right now they're kind of figuring out what they want to be or how to position themselves, right? Because in the beginning of the interview, he talked about how well TV can target now. Man, we can target, which usually is the bottom of the funnel kind of stuff. Then later in the interview, he talked about how well TV can brand them, can do branding. And that, which is usually top of the funnel kind of stuff. So it's you see them right now trying to figure out exactly who they are and what they want to be when they grow up.
Yeah, I think the big thing, Corey, is you're going to see a lot of TV as the summer ends and political, advertising heats up. And that's where so much of this money is, and so much more, I think, than people were actually planning. And that's going to sustain TV as well. So they found new advertising streams since the Great Recession, the retrans fees, the OTT fees and everything else. And now political, I wonder what the next year, 10 years will bring for TV. Anyway,
it'll
great
be exciting.
Survivors there. Okay, well, thank you. Thanks, Corey. And thanks, everybody, for hanging with us. We hope you've enjoyed the podcast. Please visit us at BurrellAssociates.com, particularly our crisis marketing stuff. Throughout the summer, we'll be updating that, and you'll find more information on that panel that Corey mentioned. So thank you, Corey.
Thank you, Gordon.
You've been listening to the Local Marketing Trends Podcast, sponsored by Simplify and by Site Impact. If you have submissions for something you'd like Corey or Gordon to discuss, or if you'd like to be a guest on the show, email the hosts at podcast@burrellassociates.com and let them know. Thanks for listening, and remember, market well.